world. I hope it's as beautiful in Boutelier's Point and everywhere as it is here. It's 58 degrees, it's a light breeze, sky is blue, sun is shining. We don't know how long it's going to last, so we're all enjoying it thoroughly. And we are right here where the Columbia River meets the Pacific Ocean. One of the most beautiful places in the world, if I do say so myself. And I do. And it is time for Arts Live and Local. And we do this show every week because we know how important arts is and are to our lives. Art saves lives. Art works. Lots and lots of examples. And, well, first let me tell you that Arts Live and Local is brought to you in part by Columbia River Coffee Roaster, wholesaling fresh roasted coffee since 1992 at 279 West Marine Drive, the Old Finnish Meat Market, with three cups coffee house up front, espresso, coffee, homemade baked goods, Wi-Fi, and gifts open every day. And support for Arts Live and Local comes in part from Coast Weekend, your source for arts and entertainment news in the Columbia Pacific, published weekly in the Wednesday Chinook Observer, the Thursday Daily Astorian, and online at coastweekend.com. So as I was saying, art works. Art saves lives. Art is an important and crucial part of every community and civilization. So I just want to give a shout out, a thank you to our community and to those on the Clatsop College Board who understand this and voted to keep the Performing Arts Center as part of our community. They weren't fooled by the idea of an outside developer coming in, giving lots of jobs and money, and in this case, quote, affordable housing, which is the buzzword these days. But if you look at the facts, affordable is an interesting word. Or as one of the community members said, affordable to whom? And especially, unlike 2004, when the Astoria Board of Commissioners were advised by their attorney and did vote to sign a contract. I think many of you remember that one. That was an unknown contract for liquefied natural gas. And if you live around here, you know that most of the community doesn't want it, but it's been 12 years. So I'm glad to see that we're keeping the pack, and we have lots going on there, including this weekend, and you'll hear more about it. So I want to send this show out for art and those who make art, and also to realize that art is an economic development experience. Send this out for Rick. Thanks for being here, folks.
Art for a snake. I'd like you to meet my lawyer. Heart, heart like a snake. Make a mistake and lawyer. Bones, bones gonna shake. Could be slander. Move to Brazil with butts, butts in the bank, butts, butts in the bank, butts, butts in the bank. Beauty and love. I'd like you to meet my guru. He came from above. He'll send you a mantra when you give him your love and all your money. He'll move to Brazil with butts, bucks in the bank. Bucks, bucks in the bank. Bucks, bucks in the bank. Art, art, for art's sake. Heart, like a snake. Money, truth, truth, love and beauty. Give us your booty. Say hello to my God. I'd like you to meet my dealer. He split with my wad. You know I never squeal or he damaged my body. Full of rod could mean danger. I'll move to Brazil.
Forget the box,
box in the bag. Butts in the bank. Butts, butts in the bank. Art, for art's sake. Heart, like a snake. Money, truth, love and beauty.
Nothing like those Bobs, huh? They are something else. They're a fun, fun group. A cappella. Actually, they've been here to Astoria, but we can't really afford them these days. So we play their music on Coast Community Radio. Where else are you going to hear it in this community? Well, my first guest is fortunately back in town, and Ed Peterson is here. He has a new show opening up at the Tempo Gallery, which is on Commercial. And it looks like a tiny little space because it's narrow, but it goes way back in. And I'm going to let him talk about it because it's a cooperative gallery, and they were very creative coming up with using this space. And the name Tempo gives you a little bit of a hint. They share the space with the Astoria Music Festival folks, and that, of course, is starting to warm up also. So welcome, Ed Peterson.
Well, thank you inviting me.
You bet.
What an honor.
Well, and you have not been on the air at KMUN.
No, I haven't.
Have you been on radio before?
Many years ago.
Many, many. Okay. Well, we'll give you a little credit for that, but that makes you a KMUN virgin, you know. So congratulations.
<Thank you.
laughs> And at your age, you know.
That's great.
At our age, I should say. This is pretty good stuff.
Great.
Okay. So your show is called Speaking Through Colors, and anyone who has been in the Tempo Gallery will recognize Ed's work because it is vibrant. And a lot of large canvases, too. So, I mean, I'm thinking of your animal there that just comes right at you. It feels like he's right there. So it's good. What is this show? Now, I mentioned that it's a cooperative gallery. Why don't you tell us how it works? And
well, it's cooperative in the fact instead of paying royalty to a ordinary gallery, we work in, we pay dues, but mainly we work the gallery and spend time doing that. And for me, it has really been a tremendous experience because I love to be able to talk to the people about the art. And if they, you know, if they have comments, criticisms of my work, I'm just happy to try and explain mm-hmm. what I'm trying to say. It has a nice variety of art, and it's a great space. And the neat thing is we're, well, for me, I can speak selfishly. It's a space if I want to go in tomorrow and change a piece of art and put a different piece in, I can do that. And I don't have to ask anybody. I just do it. And so it's, and I enjoy being able to talk to people. I hope that's okay with the people that come
in. I think so. There's always a crowd around you, I notice, when you come. So do you keep that space that you have? You're on the, as you come in, you're on the left wall towards the front. Is that more or less your space, or does
we do shift around, but we all have the same amount of space each month, which also is a great feature for each person that's in the gallery.
I just wondered, because it's like everybody gets to go past your work, you know, and so it's like jumps right in. The work grabs them too. So the name I mentioned, Speaking Through Colors, why is it called that? Are you always, is all your work in, sort of bursting color, or?
Well, my background was high school band and choir.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't know that. Oh, my goodness.
I only taught for 45 years.
Where was that?
In a community called Snohomish, outside of Seattle.
Right.
And when I mention this, I hope that's worded correctly. It was a different experience than many high school band directors get to experience. We performed and traveled to 22 foreign countries. So I've taken my students to the Louvre, to the Tate Gallery, to galleries in...
Was this a private school?
No.
How does a school manage to do that?
Well, convincing the community that it was important.
This is fantastic.
Because it was, Snohomish is a very small community.
Yes, it is.
It has a large enrollment because of the bus areas.
Mm-hmm.
But our first trip was one of the first bands in Washington and also in the United States to go. We did six countries in 1968.
Wow.
And so I took kids to Europe that had not been to Seattle.
Yeah, really? And, really? Boy, what a mind and heart opener that is.
You know, you're talking of arts. You couldn't do that today. But I taught the kids manners, hotel manners, life experiences. I have a good following on Facebook of still
former students,
kids.
Right, right.
To me, there's some of them are 60.
Yeah,
but they're still kids, and those moments are still priceless in their lives. Can you imagine? I've been in Checkpoint Charlie a couple times. Students got to see the Berlin Wall and people trying to communicate from east to west.
So when you took a group over, did you travel with them or did you go to one town and stay there?
Well, we did six countries the first time that we were there. And then
One trip?
Yeah.
Holy
cow. We recorded on Radio Free Europe.
Did you have, really?
Yes.
Oh my. Did you have a number of parent volunteers with you? Is that?
Yes.
Adult volunteers.
But not a lot of volunteers. Uh-huh. Yeah, we called them advisors, and they were broken into groups. And after the first two trips, I did all the travel arrangements and things myself. Wow. I worked through a travel agency, but I wanted to do the planning myself because I knew the students better than a travel agency.
And you contacted people in Europe.
And then the travel group would contact for me.
Okay.
But then, you know, we weren't seeing six or seven, eight cathedrals and not getting any art or fighting, you know. Everything was geared for our own students. We did the Montreux Jazz Festival with the jazz band 4 years later.
Did your kids ever get to perform in
We
other...
performed all these places.
Oh, you did, in all those places. That's wonderful. Now, there are some groups, I know Astoria High School, Janet Bowler used to take, and matter of fact, I think Harry Steinbach set up the sister city with Waldorf, and Janet taught German and French, so those students got to go, and some others. But this sounds more extensive.
It was very extensive, yes. Yeah.
When did you make a shift, or did you? Do you still do music?
No.
What happened?
Well, I retired in, you know, doing all those things. We did the Seahawks. We marched for the Seahawks. We marched for the, we played for the Sonics. we've done the Mariners when they were in the Dome. We're in the group that dedicated the old Kingdome.
Mm-hmm. My, going back a ways.
You know, and...
Did you, though, you also play an instrument, I presume, or did?
Yeah, I was a trombone player.
So how come you don't pick up that old trombone?
You know, it was 7 days a week, and enough's enough.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm thinking, you know, one of the North Coast Symphonic Band, which
yes,
is...
Yes, I have...
Have you played with them?
I have one student in there.
A student. Well, I've learned that there are some people who move here, and you know they dust off these old instruments that they haven't played in 30 years, and they warm up their lips or whatever, and are happy to have a group to play with.
That is so neat. Astoria is blessed with so many of those
many
type
groups.
Of groups.
Yep.
Interested people, and
so
yeah,
you
it's a
moved,
super community.
But you moved into the visual arts. When and how did that happen?
Well, my wife passed away in 2010, and so then I went on a trip, and in 2011, I visited Jackson, Wyoming, and fell in love with all the art galleries in Jackson. And my life has been, this is the wrong word, but very weird and very blessed, as I met a lot of fabulous people that took me under their wing and guided me through. And I got to go to art auctions and art galleries with nationally known artists and how they look at art and...
In Wyoming or everywhere?
In Wyoming.
Okay.
Yes. And then that branched out into the Santa Fe area and the Taos area, and that sort of thing happened with me in Palm Desert.
Did you have interest in visual arts before, number one? And number two, did you have confidence that you would be able to make art as well as appreciate art?
You shouldn't ask that question. I'm too dumb not to do it.
I see.
You want an answer?
You
that's
jumped
the honest
in.
One.
You just, liked it, so you
just
jumped
like
in.
Like Nike says, just do it.
Just do it. There you go. Did you take classes?
No, I started. I have a little better answer, but I was fascinated with the Western art, naturally, in those galleries, they're so large. They're, you know, the paintings are 5-6 feet, you know, and they make such a visual impact because they also have a lot of negative space around them.
Mm-hmm.
I came home and I did it a little bit, and I took 5 paintings up to Scott and Tim and sent them around, set them in the store.
Oh, right, Dots and Doodles.
At Dots and Doodles, mm-hmm. And I looked, there was no one in the parking lot, so I thought it was safe.
There's your confidence.
And I brought him in, and so I said, Scott, please look at him and tell me what you think.
Oh, wow.
So he set him around, and then in walked Joe. I forget her last name.
Oh, Joe Pomeroy Crockett.
Yes.
Of course.
And she said, whose art is that? And I said, oh, brother. So anyway, I ended up doing an art show for Joe at the Grace Episcopal Church.
Oh, my goodness. Lovely.
And then she said, well, you should enter an art thing at Trail's End. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. So she took two things and entered them, and I won a first and a second prize.
Oh, my gosh. Ed, this is outrageous, huh?
You know, and so...
So you had been, confidence. You didn't realize.
I had a love for art, period, mm-hmm. and a love mm-hmm. to create. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I ended up in Astoria, the art scene.
So how long have you been here?
Well, I did the show with Joe in 2012 in August.
Okay.
And then
And you were already living here then?
No, I live in Kelso.
Ah, you live in still?
Yes.
Okay, I did not realize that.
Well,
okay.
We moved to Kelso for those golden years of our lives.
Oh, yeah.
And we were there and just finished building our house. And the first week we moved in, Sharon was diagnosed with lung cancer and died shortly after that.
Oh, I'm so sorry, yeah. Yeah,
the front of my house is 18 feet of glass, and it looks out on a valley, and it's so it's.
Yeah, you're not
it's
leaving.
It's a neat, neat scene. Yeah. But anyway,
I would say you could have a little gallery show there too. But if it's all window, forget about it.
That's right. So anyway, then I did Joe's show, and then nothing for a while, and mm-hmm. then Scott got me involved in looking at Tempo and.
Mm-hmm.
So then I joined Tempo in 13, and mm-hmm. and David Campici came into Dots and Doodles and saw Buffalo, and he wanted to know who that was. So I ended up out at Campici.
Campici. Yeah.
And then at the same time, I ended up shortly after that out at Fairweather.
Well, I understand now why you're not playing the trombone anymore. Yeah. You don't have time. So what is the... And we're running out of time, but I want to see if you can put into words. You made music for 40-some years, or maybe even more than that. You taught for 45, and obviously got tremendous satisfaction. And now you're making visual art and obviously doing very well. Can you compare what it feels like and... in terms of personal satisfaction or creativity or growth, what's the difference, or is it all the same?
I hope sometime we can talk about that. If I can do this quick, it was really a blessing. All of this part of my life has been surreal, to be honest with you. It was neat to be able to have art here because no one knows me.
Okay.
And there are no expectations.
Yeah,
it's
good
just,
point. Yeah.
So if you came in and said, I like that, mm-hmm. I know you like it.
That's right. That's
it's
right.
It's not because it's Ed Peterson's.
Right, exactly.
So that was a real strong blessing.
Interesting.
And it was very difficult for me to accept compliments. Because when I received compliments in the music field, it was the kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was certainly the kids and I. It was... a marriage of sorts, and so to accept the responsibility. And then when somebody bought something, well, if for example, if you come in and said, I like that,
mm-hmm.
that just really dumbfounds me.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you pay for it and take it home, that's just
ridiculous.
Really amazes
sublime.
Me. And then if I have people come in and show me a picture of my work hanging in their house.
Oh, wow.
And what a humbling thing to have my art mm-hmm. in your house.
Mm-hmm.
So there's tremendous satisfaction in what I'm trying to do, and that's the title, and it, all of my work relates with it. I want to express through paint and texture what I did musically, so that I would like you to come in and see a painting, and not every one of them that does that. Mm-hmm. I need to be honest with you. Some more than the one that's up right now that we have on Facebook isn't his, the two that I have at home that are still in wet paint will give a better message. I want every painting to speak to you. So if you pay good money to take it and hang it in your home, I want it to have a personal message for you. Mm-hmm. I'll be glad to tell you my message, but hopefully you find your own. There's a quote that I put at the end of one of the things that I'd written I thought is really kind of sums it up well. It says, art must do something more than give us pleasure. It should relate to our own life. And I think that is so true. It's the painting, once you take it home, it needs to have
it's yours.
A personal meaning for
right.
you.
Right. Well, I think you've enlightened a lot of non-painters on how this can feel for the artist, and also, including me, enlightened me to this incredible transition that you've made through your life. And I'm delighted that you somehow or other made your way to Astoria, which until you described your big window looking out on the water, I can't imagine living in Kelso, to be honest. compared, I don't even live in Astoria, but compared to living in Astoria, but now I understand. So Ed Peterson is my guest. Name of the show is Speaking Through Colors. And he will be part, all of the Tempo Gallery will be part of Art Walk on April 9th. That's a week from tomorrow evening, all over Astoria. Tempo is right on Commercial. It's right next door to the Old Town Framing. And so you can overlook it almost because, as I say, on the street it looks small, but get in there and you'll find out how big it is and what wonderful art there is. I think there are 5 different artists at this point who are using the space. Thanks so much for coming in.
Well, thank you.
And may you paint on forever. And congratulations that you're no longer a KMUN virgin. There you go. We'll see you back here another time.
Thank you.
Okay. I have another piece of music for you. This is from Greg Brown, and this one is specifically for Rick Vrana, who died suddenly last week. He is the man who created the Last Tuesday poetry sessions that have been going on for quite a while. So here's for Rick Vrana, Presente.
Down by the river, junior year, walking with my girl, and we came upon a place there in the tall grass where a couple had been making love and left the mark of their embrace. I said to her, looks like they had some fun. She said to me, let's do the same. And still I taste her kisses and her freckles in the sun when I play the poet game. A young man down in the hill country in the year of 22, he went to meet his future bride. She lived in a rough old shack, poverty blew through, and she invited him inside. She'd been cooking, ashamed and feeling sad. She could only offer him bread and her name. Grandpa said that was the best gift a fella ever had. And he taught me the poet game.
Yeah, the poet game. Yeah, we had a lot of good times there. I mean, I wasn't there half as much as some of the others, but every time I went, it was really a rich night, and Rick kept it going, and we'll miss him very, very much. And that was Greg Brown with Poet's Game. And right now I have in the studio Haley Rollins. And Haley came to my attention through Jamie Boyd, thank you. She's doing something exceptional, and I think I understand what you've done, but I want you to tell folks, because this is pretty phenomenal. Let me just give a short one, and then you'll tell us what the truth is. Haley is a student at Seaside High School, and she, with the help of Representative Deborah Boone and Senator Betsy Johnson, created a House bill, 3042, to designate Honorary Artists of Oregon Day. That will be April 14th. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
How the heck did you do that? Welcome, by the way.
Thank you. Well,
and why? What made you even think of doing something like that?
Well, it started in eighth grade last year, and when I was in middle school, we were doing voting assignments, mm-hmm. and one of my friend's grandma was Deborah Boone, so she invited her grandma to come speak to the class. And at the end of Deborah Boone's speech to the class, she asked, well, would any of you want to, make a holiday or a bill? I can help you pass it. And I'm like, oh, that's an opportunity I shouldn't turn down, but what do I do?
Good for you.
And I was drawing at the moment, and I'm really passionate about art. So mm-hmm. I went up to her and said, can we make an art holiday? And she had a degree in art, so she got really excited and said, absolutely, and just took off from there.
Wow. Wow. So you say you are very interested in art. What kind of art do you do?
I love to draw. I do color pencil work, and I paint a little. I've done pottery, but I mostly like to draw and do color pencil work.
Do you have an art program at Seaside High School?
Yes.
With a question mark. Do you have an art teacher there?
Yes.
Let's see. This is a yes and no question. Do you have a pottery studio there?
Yes. It's in the same space.
One big space that has them. So is that a regular class that you can take, or is it after school, or how does that work?
It's a regular class you can take.
Mm-hmm. As part of your, it's an elective, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the reasons why I wanted to make this bill, it kind of talked about how it wants to keep arts in school, so it's just kind of raise awareness about keeping arts in school.
Fantastic. You get a gold star because, you could have come up, or somebody else could have come up with anything. That was fabulous because you're on the arts show right now, and that's because I agree with you entirely. It's one of the most important skills and lessons that we can teach. So have you been making art since you were little?
Yes. Not,
I can't say since you were young, because you're still very young. But just what, doodling, or what? How did you get started making art?
Well, I've always been considered as a better drawer than most of the students in class. And at the beginning, I would just mostly draw dragons, but I would experiment with drawing people and other things, and I figured that I found that I was good at those things if I tried and worked on it, and I've had other teachers help critique me, and
mm-hmm.
I just...
So do you do it outside of school as well?
Mm-hmm.
And how does it, I don't know if you can say this in words, but how does it feel? What do you like about it? Because for some people, sitting still and drawing would make them crazy. They want to be running around in the on the beach or whatever, you know. I don't know, maybe you like to do that too. You can do it all. But.
Well, I like it because it gives me a time to be to myself. I listen to music while I draw, and uh-huh. it gives me a time to be by myself and create what I want and like collect all my thoughts together, and like it really helpful, like after spending a day of being direct with math and testing, and just helped me collect my thoughts in personal life.
So, okay, now, so you said drawing is your favorite, and did you say colored pencils?
Mm-hmm.
So are most of you, is most of your work in color then, or mixed?
Mixed.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I should have asked you to bring us something so, so you could hold it up to the mic and let everybody see it. So what is going to happen on April 14th this year? And is this all over Oregon or just in Seaside? The Honorary Artists of Oregon Day.
So Honorary Artists of Oregon Day is like a day in Oregon. So it's all over the state.
Mm.
But this is the first year that it's going to be called Honorary Artists of mm-hmm. Oregon Day. So I just started with my school.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it'd be cool if all other schools could be doing it, but that'd be like a really big project for me to do.
Well, no, but you're doing your school. Maybe that will inspire others. You know, people will talk to each other and mm-hmm. spread the word. So what are you going to do in your school? How's that going to work?
So I've invited like 24, 26 artists to come in on April 14th to do a 90-minute workshop with the students. So the students will be able to do some artworks with the artist and just...
Will this be for all the students?
Mm-hmm. At the high school.
Like all grades and all classes?
All the
9th through 12? Or just...
Just a high school age.
Yeah, 9th through 12. Wow. How are the teachers reacting to this? Are they behind you? Or are some of them going, oh, no, we can't spare the time?
They really like the idea. They think it's cool and awesome. Like
Bravo. Seaside High School gets a star, too. Not a gold one, but a star. Good for them. Okay, so the artists will come in. Now, did you... get a pretty good response from artists?
Yeah.
Great. I know my friend, Jamie Boyd, that's how I found out about you, because she said, this is so cool what this girl is doing. So, and I'm delighted. So you're going to have the hour and a half workshop with a demonstration and teaching. Are they doing all different kinds of art?
Yeah. I got quite a few artists, like, I got a couple doing painting, a mm-hmm. couple doing, like, I got this one lady doing Russian eggs.
Oh, yeah, that's fun. Yeah.
And we got watercolor, mm-hmm. origami, and,
mm-hmm.
like, photography, mm-hmm. and scratchboard, and calligraphy.
That's quite a variety. Mm-hmm. Yeah, quite a variety. Good for you. And then is there going to be some kind of an assembly or sharing or what?
Yeah, we're going to have an assembly after the workshop where we can honor the artists that come. And nice. We invited Deborah Boone, and she's will be coming to help honor these artists wow. that have come.
Haley Rollins, watch for this girl. She is on the move. You're a 10th grader?
I'm a 9th.
You're a 9th grader. Good heavens. I can't believe this. This is a wonderful start. And have you been going to school in Seaside all along? Or
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is excellent. And if somebody's listening and says, boy, I'd like to find out more about this, should they call the high school? Or how would they find out more? Is there anything online about it?
Not a whole lot, other okay. than just, like, contacting me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, maybe, I don't want to give your phone number out over the air, so maybe we'll figure some way out that people can contact you. Perhaps you could call the radio station and leave a message, or send me an email, carol@kmun.org. Tell me you want to find out more about Haley's program, and I'll get it to the information to her. So, Haley Rollins, thank you so much, and congratulations on putting this together and on getting your first big political action. And thank you, Representative Deborah Boone, for supporting this community, as you have for years, and this time in the arts. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Okay, you bet. All right, that's Haley Rollins from Seaside High School. If you happen to be in the neighborhood on the 14th, it's in the morning, and you might be able to slip in on one of those classes, or maybe on the assembly, or one of those classes.
Maybe on the assembly.
Maybe on the assembly. Okay, yeah. Don't want to make the kids self-conscious. Okay, thank you so much for coming.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, we have some music for you from, I hope this is right, Meredith Clark. And Meredith Clark is performing the entire Joni Mitchell Blue album, she and Moncris Hubbard, at the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach at 7:30 p.m. They have performances of the Apple Tree Friday and Saturday night and Sunday at 3, and then at 7:30 is Meredith Clark, and she's quite fabulous, as you will hear. Thanks for being here, folks. Coast Community Radio. Stay tuned. We got some more fantastic young people coming up.
They won't give peace a chance. It was just a dream some of us had. Still lot of lands to see, but I wouldn't want to stay here. It's too old and cold and settled in its ways here. Oh, but California, California, I'm coming home. Oh, I'm gonna see the folks I dig. I'll even kiss a sunset pig. California, I'm coming home. Met a redneck on a Grecian isle who did the goat dance very well. He gave me back my smile, but he kept my camera to sell. Oh, the rogue, the red, red rogue. He cooked good omelets and stews, and I might have stayed on with him there, but my heart cried out for you. California, California, I'm coming home. Oh, make me feel good, rock and roll band, I'm your biggest fan. California, I'm coming home. Oh, it gets so lonely when you're walking and the streets are full of strangers. All the news of home you read just gives you the blues. Just gives you the blues.
Well, we're not going to give you the blues, folks, but Joni Mitchell, well, I guess she gave you the blues, but she also gave you the wonders of fabulous music, and Meredith Clark will be translating, or what's that? It's coming through her to sing Joni Mitchell. She has done this in Portland, performed to great acclaim. She's a professional musician. She played, she was my guest last week, a couple of weeks ago. And I loved, she played, what's the name of the, Elphaba in Wicked on a national tour. And Portland Center Stage, Longview, Columbia, artist, traveler, musician. So you check that out, 7:30 on Sunday evening. And you can see the show there at 3, or you can go see Knox, which is North Oregon Coast Symphony, at the Performing Arts Center. You know, the Performing Arts Center on 16th and Franklin, the one that we are keeping for our community. And speaking of our community, I have in the studio some amazing people, and I can say that because I saw them on stage this afternoon. How is that possible? Wasn't I here all day? No, I was over at Napa High School watching a beautiful performance of The Miracle Worker. And okay, let's get it out of the way. I cried. These kids made me cry. Yeah, she's giving a thumbs up. Thanks a lot. But it was just beautiful. And I have everybody's a star when you're doing high school. I think it was Susie Brown who said that, you know, there is no such thing as a small actor. There's only small parts, something like that. I can't remember the quote, but Jan Johnson is here with them because she is the director. And my understanding, Jan, is this right, that you have class every day? No.
Every day, yeah. So our drama program used to be an after-school extracurricular activity, and because it was always interfering with sports and other things that everybody's involved in. I had the brainstorm to see if I could petition to do it as an elective class at the school. So we have that every single day. And this is our third production this year. We've also done, help me out, what did we do?
The Hobbit.
We did The Hobbit.
Yeah.
The Homecoming for Christmas, and then this one. And then we have one more at the end of the year, which is Stone Girls Dreaming.
Wow. So good. Congratulations on that. I can't believe what's going on. I mean, look at this, folks. We know art saves lives.
Absolutely.
And it is so important. So here in the studio, I have a couple of siblings, which I did not know until I found out their last names. Playing Helen Keller is Janessa Sablon.
Sablon.
And playing Anne Sullivan is Lydia Lawson, and playing, excuse me, Captain Keller is Eddie Sablon, who looks like a really nice guy now. he wasn't quite that nice when he was on stage, but these three young people did an amazing job on this performance. Does somebody want to give us a really quick snap on what the story is? Because most people think they know Helen Keller, but want to tell us? Helen, we might as well let you, since you don't get to talk in the play. Go ahead and
start. Okay. So Helen Keller is a blind, deaf, mute child who is pretty much like an animal because she became blind, deaf, and mute when she was about 19 months old, I believe.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Okay. So she, by the time, you know, she grew up and her parents, they never knew what to do. So through this, like, they would always have to give her what she wanted. So they had to get a teacher, which is Annie Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
So they get the teacher, and she comes in, and she's takes care of business because it was a lot.
There's the miracle right there. I mean, there's a lot of miracles in this story.
Is.
Yeah.
There was a lot.
So how was it for you? Now, you've been doing theater.
Yes.
Is this the first time you did a piece where you had, it's not like not having any speaking roles because you were one of the stars, but you were not speaking. So how was that for you?
It was hard because, I'm used to talking. I'm used to seeing. I'm used to hearing. So when it comes to a joke on stage or someone does something funny, I have to keep the straight face while everyone is laughing.
Right.
Because if I laugh, then it gives away. It's a dead giveaway.
Right.
Everyone knows I'm not.
It's interesting because if you were deaf but you could see, then you would see everybody laughing. But the fact is you can't see and you can't hear. So, there's no cues. No cues. You were amazing.
Thank you.
I mean, if I didn't know this was a play and I walked into the room there, I would have thought you were the real thing. and Annie Sullivan, who is actually, in reality, Lydia. How was that for you, being the boss? And really, seriously, having to be almost, not brutal, but very strict, especially when the parents were scared to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It was different, but
like, I don't grab anybody and, like, jerk them around the stage, like, ever. I mean, I'm the oldest in my family, so it's like, I don't have that much trouble with being a little strict. Not, like, as strict as I am with her, but...
Your like, siblings listen to you, then, when you tell them what to do.
No. Oh. Sometimes. Most of the time. Other times, it's like, no, we're not going to listen.
Right. But... So, was it difficult, though?
It was a little hard, because I've never done anything where I'm, like, physically, like, wrestling against somebody, and, like, that's my size. I'm like, I have to pull her everywhere.
Did you two know each other before?
Yes.
Okay, because, it could be a bit strange to be pushing and pulling on someone. Yeah. I'm sure you knew how far to go without hurting, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had to do a lot of choreography as well for figuring out when they're doing kind of a fighting scene, you know, when do I shove the food down her mouth or when am I dragging her under? And if I do a fake slap, how does that actually look like a real slap, even though it's not? And I know it's sounds, not sound like it.
Sounds like theater to me. It sounds like some really good theater.
And it made it harder being that we're same size. So she was supposed to pick me up. Well, that's not going to happen because we're the same size. Yeah. So we had to change things up when it came to fighting.
Right.
And that was hard.
Right. That makes sense, too. So, Eddie, tell us, you come in. Now, I've never met any of the three of you before. And you were very convincing, even though, well, you're supposed to be 20, and you put your hair up, and you spoke... You sustained that accent as well, the British accent. Where'd you get that from, Annie?
I looked up online. She had us look up accents because, like, some of them were supposed to speak. We're in the South, like, so we're supposed to have, we've got, like, Southern accents. But I'm supposed to be from Ireland, Boston.
Right.
And well,
Ireland, Boston. Yeah, I know what you mean, though. New England. Yeah.
And so they were like... Just you got to have your O's different.
Mm-hmm. Well, you did very well. There was a lot, but you sustained it. That's tricky. Even a lot of adults don't do that. Eddie, you were the father, and the most disturbing thing, shall I tell you right now in front of all these millions of people listening, the most disturbing thing for me in your behavior, what do you think it was?
Like, Keller, he was almost, like, not caring to any of it. He was, like, done. Because you come into a part of his life where he did everything he could. And he's done. And he's getting ready to give his child up. And then Annie comes, and she's like, no, it's not done. It's just beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And... I don't necessarily like that because she's kind of taking control of the house. So, yeah.
Well, you know what else disturbed me, though?
What?
The way you treated your son. That was really nasty.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, you forgot about him already,
yeah.
See? This poor guy. I mean, he was doing the best he could. And I'm not going to give it away, but I really liked what happened in the end between you and your son. I have to say when he, he stood up for what needed to be stood up for, and it told us something about family dynamics, because somewhere or other he learned what was real in the world, and I'm sure part of that was from his father before his father's life got messed up by having this. Sister, I mean daughter. Do you ever practice at home when you're doing theater?
We try to.
Yeah. It was harder for me because, I don't talk, so
that's true.
I have to move around a lot, so I'm like, well, let's see. I can only really do this at the school, so I would help him with his lines. So.
Yeah, that's true. You can just listen, and that's true.
Yeah.
God, I can't imagine having to and. What you said is right on, not registering stuff that's going on, the dynamics that are going on in the family. But,
Let me add this about Eddie, too. So I had someone else cast for this part, and Eddie is also taking college classes, and so he doesn't come every day, but he jumped right in and said, no, I think I can do this part for you.
Goodness.
And so even though he hasn't been at every practice every day, and sometimes only once a week, he's done quite well.
You certainly
Very
have.
Proud of him.
Well, no wonder you've helped him at home.
Yeah.
No, it's terrific. Right. It's absolutely terrific. Let's tell folks, you too can get to see the play. And actually, I saw a bit of an abridged version because there were children, little ones there, who were invited in from Hilda Lottie to watch. And I thought they were an excellent audience.
Yes.
I was very impressed, mm-hmm. even when the dog came on. And oh, yes, there was a live dog in this production
yes.
as well. But they were obviously finding this very engaging. So, so The Miracle Worker, the story of Helen Keller, is at Napa High School. And this is tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. and then Sunday at 3 p.m. And Jan, can you tell people how to access, if they get to the high school, will somebody be there to tell them where the little theater is? Because I wouldn't have known. I was following the children. Otherwise, I would never have found
yeah,
it.
Yeah, if you go through the front door by the office, then take a quick left and down that hall, you'll be right there. So we will have people there to guide you into, if you have not seen one of our shows in that small theater.
Right.
It's a great space.
It is. I like it a lot better than the, because it keeps everybody.
Right.
Also, the Napa High School is on Highway 30, obviously Napa, but it's west of the junction, the Napa Junction, and it's on the upper road. But there are signs, mm-hmm. so just watch for it there. So are you three in the next play as well? Or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
oh,
we
you're
are.
In every play. Everybody in the class. Okay, but the younger, weren't there some, were all those kids high school kids?
No. No, we had two second graders who were two of the blind
I thought
girls.
They looked a little young.
Yeah.
Little young, and then I had a sixth and seventh grader there as well, who have also done some other plays with us.
Okay, mm-hmm. but basic, how many kids are there in the class?
About 20?
20,
yeah. It kind of comes and goes sometimes.
Okay. It depends on what day you catch us on. Right?
There you go.
Yeah.
That's it. Well, I think it's fantastic that you were able to make this an elective. It's extremely valuable. And you just heard our last student talking about keeping arts in the school. And here we are again. That was Seaside High School. This is Napa High School. And we know Astoria High School has a good theater department as well as music. So you know that in theater we don't say congratulations. I feel bad saying this to you, but break a leg.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, and thank you so much for coming in, and thanks for the wonderful performances.
And thank you for inviting us.
You bet.
I
would love to talk to you more another time, too, maybe for the next play or something, and you can tell us your motivations and also what you're doing with theater in the future, because if you're already taking college classes, okay. Thanks. Again.
Okay, thank you.
And my guests, along with Jan Johnson, who is the teacher director, is Janessa Sablon as Helen, and Lydia Lawson as Annie Sullivan, and Eddie Sablon as Captain Keller, the papa. Okay, thanks so much. And I'm going to put some music on for you, but I also wanted to let you know something that's going on tomorrow evening that is phenomenal, and it really touches a lot of us here, because Captain Deborah Dempsey, who is the bar pilot, not river pilot, but bar pilot, the only woman bar pilot, is one of three exceptional Oregonians who were honored. And tomorrow evening, Saturday evening, at 8 p.m. at the Liberty Theater, Oregon Stories is going to be featuring original compositions by various artists, film composer and guitarist Mark Orton, Daryl Grant, whom you're listening to right now, and professor at Portland State, and the Portland Jazz Composers Ensemble Executive Director Douglas Dietrich, an award-winning composer and trumpeter. And the Oregon Stories Project makes a powerful statement. Jazz is an inclusive art form that can tell the stories of many communities, not just of the elite urban audiences often associated with the music. What they've done is taken the life story of each of three exceptional Oregonians, and it's going to be broadcast on radio, but tomorrow night is live. So you will hear their stories and you will hear the original music composed to spirit this these stories. It's going to be fantastic. 8 o'clock Saturday night. Let me just let you know, Oregon Coast Conference is this weekend. Knox, the North Oregon Coast Symphony, is at the NCRD tonight. Symphony at Sunset. Classical Chamber Music Sunday at the PAC, 16th and Franklin in Astoria. Peninsula Arts Association Spring Art Show is all weekend. Jane Barnes Review is tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Astoria Event Center, and it's a blast. And Peninsula PAC is featuring guitarist Doug Smith and his wife, flutist Judy Coke Smith. And Doug is giving a workshop at 1 o'clock, guitar workshop. And also he's going to be at the Shelburne on Sunday, 6 to 8. And Art Walk in Gearhart at 2 o'clock tomorrow and at 5 o'clock in Seaside. And the Cannon Beach Gallery is having an opening for Joe Hamilton. Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum at 5 o'clock has art and an auction. And the Bay City Arts Center is featuring a night of the spoken word. Sunday, don't forget, Mary.